Two for Tuesday getting kicked off on a funky note. Two for Tuesday. 312-981-7200. One artist, two songs. Get them in there. Jesse requested Africa Bambaataa and Soul Sonic Force. That was Planet Rock. Yeah. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here, and we're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio here right on Michigan Avenue, here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich will have the opening bell at 5, and my main man, Steve Cochran, at 6 for your morning drive. So the Milwaukee Brewers and the Chicago Cubs have become a really fun rivalry, and there's a pretty intense three-game series that we're having right now, and it was a terrific game last night. They won. The Cubs won in 11 innings. It was another come from behind victory for the Cubs. And so it's a really fun rivalry. And I'm going to talk about rivalries, not just in sports, but in business. We'll start off talking a little sports rivalry, but if you want to jump to business rivalries as well, like, you know, Coke versus Pepsi, that kind of stuff, Nike versus Reebok. Those are like classic business rivalries. And we want to talk about that and rivalries in movies and things like that as well. 312-981-7200. So Dan, sports rivalries, the first one that pops into your head has got to be what, Packers Bears?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, that is legendary and it's been going on for so long, and the animosity between the two.
Yeah, that's probably, I mean, I would say that that's probably the, I mean, at least because we're local.
Right.
That's the most intense of all the sports teams in Chicago, without question. The Bears and Packers, that rivalry is legendary. The Green Bay Packers and Chicago Bears have played each other about 200 times since 1921, the year after the National Football League was founded. No NFL team has won more championships, 13 for the Packers, 9 for the Monsters of the Midway, and none has placed more players in the Hall of Fame than the Packers and the Bears, not to mention the marquee value of their enshrined coaches, which would be George Halas and Packer Curly Lambeau. To Vince Lombardi and Mike Ditka. They've, it's been crazy. So yeah, intense. And you know, during bad seasons, when the Bears are having a bad season, the two times that they play the Packers, people care. Like the stadium will be packed, you know, and, you know, I mean, some sports rivalries are kind of fun. I think the Packers Bears rivalry is fun.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. Because, as you mentioned, proximity probably has a lot to do with many of these rivalries. And to your point, you know, the Bears had a very bad year. I want to say it was back in 2000. And they beat the Packers. Brian Robinson had blocked a field goal in the last minute. It was the week that Walter Payton had died. And so, like, all the Grabowskis were like, oh, Walter Payton's spirit lifted him up and, you know, got him just high enough that he could block that field goal and things like that. So, you know, I mean, it was one of those things where, even though that was a lost season for them, you know, people still remember that game because they beat them in Lambeau on that last second field goal. You know, a 300-pound man somehow jumping higher than he'd ever jumped in history, to block that field goal.
Yeah, even during a disastrous season, people got excited about that. So that's a big rivalry. When I think of sports rivalries, and I'm not a big football fan, that's the first one that popped into my head, at least locally. The first one. Now the Cubs. Now they've you know. Milwaukee is a rival now, because they're so close. And obviously now that they're in the National League, well, they've been in the National League a long time, but when they switched over to the National League, that's when it officially became, oh, we have a brand new rival. Obviously for the Cubs, it's the Cardinals. Oh, God, I hate the Cardinals. And that's a rivalry that, you know, that's fun. Now, I don't necessarily consider the Sox a rival. I mean, I know now they play interleague, and it counts and stuff, and they used to just have the exhibition, the Crosstown Classic exhibition, but now it actually, you know, like these interleague games actually count. But would you consider the Sox and the Cubs rivals?
You know, I would, just because the fan bases involved, you know, much like proximity is a big part of it, but the fan bases involved and kind of, you know, obviously there's not as much differences as it makes it seems, but it definitely seems like there's a different group of, you know, different groups of people listen to different teams. And so I would, just in that, you get a lot of that diehard fans that are,
yeah.
I mean, to your point, you know, we are now the radio home of the Chicago yeah. White Sox, but yeah. you have repeatedly said, I have never been a White Sox fan. I will yeah. never be a White Sox fan.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, well, hell, I co-wrote and directed a play about the Cubs and Sox fans. And a lot of that is, well, a lot of that came from personal, you know, experience. And I remember the original script went to, because Anthony Ternis wrote the original script called Black and Blue, and we put it up in 2011 and we remounted it in 2013. And it was about that clash between two brothers, one a hardcore Sox fan, one a hardcore Cubs fan. And we set the play over a course of years during interleague play from the first day it counted in 97, if I'm not mistaken. 97, I believe, was that the first time it actually counted? I think it was 97 when interleague games actually, you know, when the interleague play started. So and it all took place in this bar while they were watching a Cubs Sox game throughout the years.
97, yes.
Yeah. And when Anthony brought the script to me, it was like a first draft, and he wanted me to punch it up, and he wanted me to direct it. Tony is a massive Cub fan. He's a massive Cub fan, and he hates the Sox. He hates the Sox. But when I read the script, I was like, Tony, man, listen, I'm a Cub fan for life. I'm not a Sox fan at all. But you got to make this a little fairer, because it was so pro-Cub. The first draft of that script, it was so obviously written by someone who hates the Sox that I was like, I'm going to write some stuff that's pro Sox. I'm sorry, but we have to do it. And then I think we made it. You know, I think we made it pretty balanced. Did you see Black and Blue?
I did. Yes.
And I did you think it was balanced? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't easy for, you know, a lot of my actors to say those lines. A lot of them were Cub fans. But yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, I guess it's a rivalry. It sure. I mean, it seems. I guess my take on it is that I hate interleague play so much that I just don't. You know, I don't like interleague play at all. You know, at all. I think the best team in the National League and the best team in the American League should play once, and that's in the World Series. That's just, I mean, I'm old. I'm an old man trying to get some wedges when it comes to that. But yeah, so I guess that. And then so the Hawks. Obviously, St. Louis Blues used to be the Dead Wings, but now they don't play them as much anymore. They moved the divisions around, you know, and that was an intense. I mean, for me, that was the biggest one. That was the biggest rival. So, and the Predators now. The Predators have become like a major rival for the Hawks.
Right, and the fun thing about the proximity to Nashville and the problems it created when the Blackhawks fans showed up.
Yeah. Rule changes were put in.
Right.
Ticket selling rule changes were put into effect because the Hawks fans showed up en masse in Nashville. I mean, there were times when more than half the crowd were Hawks fans. So I think that, I mean, as far as Hawks go, it's obviously the Blues is number one right now. Nashville and then the Red Wings, I think, are the biggest ones. I mean, for Chicago. So what about the White Sox? Who are their...
Tigers.
Tigers are the biggest.
Yeah, I mean, I would. That was the one that I've heard the most, you know, over the years.
Mm-hmm. All right, and Cubs, I guess.
And yeah. Cubs.
All right. What about Bulls?
Used to be the Pistons.
Used to be the Pistons. Yeah, right. Back when I watched basketball, it was the Pistons. I don't follow basketball anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of similar thing. The Bucks is an interesting matchup.
Sure. Pacers maybe.
Pacer, not as much.
Not as much, but yeah, for sure. I mean, in the 80s, the Pistons. Because I remember, I used to, and I know this sounds weird considering that I have no interest in the NBA and I don't watch basketball now at all, but I used to videotape every Bulls game. Like, early Jordan, like, before they won. Like the mid-80s. Like, 86, I think, was Jordan when the Bulls got Jordan. And so I was watching intensely before that, all the way through that, and... Every single year, the Pistons would beat them. Like they'd go to the postseason, and the Pistons would beat them every single year. So in 91, when they won the championship in 91, the first of the six that they won in the 90s, that was great. That was great. And as a Bulls fan, I was happy. But I was more happy that they swept the Pistons. That was more gratifying to me. I remember losing my mind when they swept the Pistons because it was year after year after frustrating year that the Pistons would beat them. And I hated the Pistons. Oh, my God, did I hate the Pistons at that time. So, all right, those are some local sports rivalries. There are many more. And then we've got business rivalries that we're going to get to, and we want to talk about that. And we would love to hear from you. Talk or text 312-981-7200. Entertainment rivalries? Business rivalries? Sports rivalries? What are some of the best? 312-981-7200. We'll get back to the conversation after we take a break because we've got weather and we've got traffic. Two for Tuesday, everybody. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Get your request in. Two for Tuesday. 312-981-7200. Jesse requesting Africa Bambaataa with Soul Sonic Force. That's Rock What You Got. Hi, everybody, and welcome back. We would love to hear from you. We're talking about rivalries in the world of business, in the world of entertainment, in the world of sports. 312-981-7200 is the phone number and text number. So give us a call. And hey, so... Coke versus Pepsi, Dan, that's a legendary one.
Oh, sure.
Now, are you, do you don't drink, do you drink pop?
I do drink pop. I don't drink stuff that's caffeinated typically, but when I do, I will go Coke over Pepsi.
Right. When I drank stuff that was caffeinated, I was definitely Coke over Pepsi. And oddly, the movie that we're showing tonight at the film club is very Pepsi heavy. Because Michael J. Fox is in it. And, you know, the movie was made in 1985, and at that time, Michael J. Fox was, like, you know, the biggest spokesperson for Pepsi ever. So there's a lot of Pepsi in Back to the Future.
Sure.
By the way, we have 7 seats left for Back to the Future. So if you're planning on coming, you go to amctheaters.com right now and reserve your seats because there's only 7 left. And I would hate for people to miss, you know, to miss out because they procrastinated. But it's going to be packed. It's going to be packed. And I think because a lot, some people, you know, a lot of people who show up to the film club, Dan, a lot of them don't make reservations.
Oh yeah.
You know, and they just show up. We're going to turn people away tonight, which makes me sad because I don't want to turn anybody away. So there's about 7 seats left for Back to the Future tonight, which starts at 8 o'clock. I'll introduce it. We'll watch it on the big screen, and then we'll talk about it afterwards and have a lot of fun with it. a lot of stories about the making of Back to the Future. A lot of stuff. I mean, geez, I could talk for an hour and a half about the Eric Stoltz stuff alone. So, but yeah, Coke versus Pepsi. Why is the battle between Coke versus Pepsi, two ultimately similar types of sugar water, the most important struggle in the history of capitalism? Simply put, their rivalry transcends time, distance, and culture. It's divided restaurants, presidents, and nations. It has been waged in supermarket stadiums and courtrooms. It has many foot soldiers, including Santa Claus, Cindy Crawford, Michael Jackson, Max Headroom, Bill Gates, and Bill Cosby. Was Max Headroom Coke or Pepsi? Do you remember?
I want to say Pepsi, but let me double check.
Okay. In 1886, an Atlanta chemist introduced Coca-Cola, a tasty potion for mental and physical disorders, quote-unquote. Pepsi-Cola followed 7 years later, though it would be decades and 2 bankruptcies before Coke acknowledged the company in the way that it the other competitive threats with lawsuits. Pepsi-Cola had made hay during the Depression. Like Coke, the drink cost a nickel, but it came with a 12-ounce bottle nearly twice the size of Coke's dainty, wasted one. But by the 1950s, Pepsi was a distant number 2. It nabbed Alfred Steele, a former Coke ad man who arrived embittered and ambitious. His motto, beat Coke. Coca-Cola refused to call Pepsi by name. The drink was, quote, the imitator, the enemy, or generously, the competition. It began tinkering with its business and imitating Pepsi to stay ahead. In 1979, for the first time in the rivalry's history, Pepsi overtook Coke's sales in supermarkets. It didn't last. By 1996, Fortune declared that the cola wars had ended. Since then, Pepsi, with its increasing focus on health and snacks, has gone on as good as surrendered. America's favorite 2 soft drinks, Coke and Diet Coke. Yeah, Diet Coke. Esmeralda, you Pepsi or Coke?
Coke.
Yeah. I think that goes without saying. But, there are certain fast food places. I mean, they have contracts with either or. So, like, if you go to a fast food place and all they have is Pepsi, if that's the case, like, if you order something and you say, I'll take a Coke, and they go, we just have Pepsi, I just go for Sprite or 7-Up. when I was caffeine drinker. So, all right. All right, we got more of them here, rivalries coming up. All right, we can just go right to McDonald's and Burger King now. Now, is that, you know, I know that McDonald's and Burger King are clearly probably the top two rivals, but there are a lot of burger places that are rivals of McDonald's now, right?
Well, 618 just texted Wendy's versus every other fast food place. I mean, their Twitter game is so strong now, they just ravage everybody on, you know, whether it's McDonald's, Wendy, or Burger King, or the now International House of Burgers.
Okay. Now, hold on a second now. I thought it was going to be breakfast, International House of Breakfast, which makes sense, but they this can't be real. I mean, this has to be some sort of joke that they're pulling in June instead of April. But the International House of Pancakes, IHOP, is now IHOB, International House of Burgers. Now, did you see Burger King's response?
I did not.
It's their logo, but it says Pancake King. And instead of two buns, you know how they have the bun, the logo for Burger King is in between the hamburger buns?
Right.
It's a stack of pancakes.
That's awesome.
And it's written exactly in the same logo as the, that was Burger King's official response from Burger King. They posted Pancake King. So, yeah, people are loving the Wendy's, huh?
I mean, it is delicious.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't had Wendy's in a really long time. Esmeralda, do you enjoy the Wendy's?
Yeah, I'd say they're the, out of all the fast food, they're the best.
Yeah, my dad feels that way, too. My dad is crazy about Wendy's. Are there not enough Culver's for that to be considered?
I think they're too new. I mean, I haven't had a chance to get over to the one on Irving yet, but...
it's always packed, Dan. Like, seriously. Imagine. Like, it's at the line creeps out onto Irving, goes all the way around the back. The drive-thru is insane. Every time I pass it. So.
It'll be interesting to find out if Wendy's tweeted this before or after Burger King's statement. Because a Twitter user asked Wendy's, you know, what do you think about IHOB?
Yeah.
Not really afraid of the burgers from a place that decided pancakes were too hard.
Oh, man. Woo! Meow! Wow. All right. That decided pancakes were too hard. Wow. Yeah, I mean, I know people who love Wendy's, man. I mean, so... I would have to say, I mean, I'm not a big... I don't eat a lot of fast food, but I think Burger King is my favorite. Of all the fast food places, Burger King is my... I mean, Culver's is amazing, but like of all the more attainable fast food that are... I'm much more of a Burger King guy than McDonald's.
So that
guy.
Leads to Whopper versus Big Mac.
Whopper.
I would go Whopper as well.
Yeah, although the Big Mac's a damn good sandwich. Yeah, and then you have to ask about the fries.
Well, I mean, I learned this from Steve and Johnny. You know, Steve could order fries from McDonald's and not be wary, even though he was gluten-free.
Yeah.
Because McDonald's sells so much fries, they have their own dedicated fryer.
Mm.
Whereas the other ones, you could, you know, they're all just throwing it all in the same fryer.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean...
Yeah, well, I mean, no, McDonald's fries are I think, widely considered by most people to be the best French fry, fast food French fry. I mean, McDonald's fries are sort of just are legendary in that regard.
Right. Same thing with their Diet Cokes.
Because they have the fountain drink?
The fountain drink. They specifically transfer them in steel containers as opposed to whatever they transfer it with the other pops. And they have a specifically designed straw so you get more when you drink a fountain pop from McDonald's.
Okay. All right. Now, for me, fries, White Castle. White Castle is my favorite fries. I like the crinkle cut fries. Those are great. So, all right, Burger King versus McDonald's. That's still happening, but now I guess Wendy's is the reigning champ as far as rivalries go. Well, that's what we're talking about here, rivalries. And we'll get into some more business rivalries and all kinds of other stuff here. And sports rivalries, too. More coming up right after the news, which is coming up right now. Two for Tuesday, man. Yeah, two for Tuesday. Yeah. You can get your requests in now at 312-981-7200, talk or text, and requests for Two for Tuesday, one artist, two songs. Michael from Iowa requested Donna Summer with Last Dance. The cast of the Broadway musical Summer performed Last Dance at the Tonys the other night, where my friend David Cromer won Best Director. Yeah, so, hi, welcome everybody, it's Nick DiGilio here, we are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio looking out on Michigan Avenue, we are here till 5 a.m., it is 2 for Tuesday, and Steve Grzanich will have the opening bell at 5, and my main man Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. We are talking about rivalries, some of the best sports rivalries, business rivalries, personality, entertainment rivalries, stuff like that. Like, here's a good one, Dan. This is a past one. It doesn't exist anymore, but Letterman versus Leno.
Yes.
Which, you know, they wrote a book about, and they made an HBO movie about. And that movie, by the way, you ever seen The Late Shift?
I did see it.
I thought it was terrific.
Yeah.
You know? And directed by Betty Thomas, who also directed Private Parts, which is kind of like she had that little time frame there where she was doing, like, real-life, you know, entertainment dramas or stories. Yeah. But, yeah, David Letterman versus Jay Leno. I was always David Letterman. Well, I mean, it wasn't even a thing. I mean, that wasn't even a question. But now you got, okay, so right now the rivals on your late night for the 10:30 time slot or 11:30, you know, on the East Coast, you get Jimmy Kimmel. You got Jimmy Fallon, and you got Stephen Colbert. Fallon is the weak link, as far as I'm concerned. You know, I've grown to really love Stephen Colbert. I hated him on The Colbert Report, because I hated the character, and I thought it was a really obvious character, and I never thought it was very funny, so I never really watched him. But I really like him on his show as him. You know what I mean? Like, as the real Stephen Colbert.
Right.
And I loved him when he was on stage at Second City. You know, he was in an incredible cast in the 90s at Second City here in Chicago. But that whole Colbert Report thing, the whole Daily Show Colbert thing, I never laughed at it. I never thought it was funny. I thought the character itself was broad and obvious and not very clever. But now I think he's doing killer stuff on his show. So that's your rivalry for the 10:30 time slot. The 11:30 time slot, you've got James Corden and Seth Meyers. And that one's not even close. That's not even close. That's Seth Meyers all the way. And then you've also got, I mean, The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. But, I mean, that's not competition. He doesn't have any competition in that time slot, really. Because all the other shows start a half an hour later. He's on at 10. And Trevor Noah is killing it, man. I mean, he's great. Trevor Noah is great. Trevor Noah is great. And The Daily Show is terrific. And then you got John Oliver. He's only on once a week. But his show is great. Samantha Bee. Awesome. So you got your late night stuff going on here. How about this one, Dan? Now, you follow college sports more than I do. So you can maybe you can speak to this. 405 area code says, the biggest rivalry from my home state is Oklahoma, is the rivalry between Texas Longhorns and Oklahoma University. Go OU. Now, there's a lot of college team rivalries, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the one that sticks out for me is Alabama versus everybody, but basically at this point. But now I'm blanking on the team's name. So, but they play them every year in the Iron Bowl, and it's always a big deal because Auburn. That's it.
Auburn.
Yeah.
What about Duke versus North Carolina?
Duke versus North Carolina.
That's a big one, right?
Yep.
And then Ohio State, Michigan. Now, is Ohio State, Michigan bigger than Michigan, Michigan State?
I would say yes.
Really?
Based upon, I mean, because the two franchises have been going at it for so long, and Michigan State football you know, is solid now, but wasn't as good as in the past. Whereas Ohio State and Michigan are usual perennial powerhouses.
Mm, okay. Let's see. 815 area code says Edison versus Tesla. Yeah, that's a big one. Hell hath no fury like a mentor scorned. In 1884, world-renowned inventor Thomas Edison welcomed a brilliant young Serbian engineer named Nikola Tesla into his New York office. Tesla had been working on DC electricity in Edison's Paris division for a few years, and then he turned on him. Dan, do you ever watch Drunk History?
I've seen episodes.
The one that they did, Edison versus Tesla, was fantastic. It was fantastic. I'm trying to remember. I think Michael Ian Black played Tesla. Parnell may have played Edison. Anyway, it was very funny. Mike says the IHOB thing is temporary since it's Burger Month. Oh, so that's the shtick that they're doing. June is Burger Month. That's right. 219 says Steak and Shake is the best. Steak and Shake rules. 618 area code, Verizon versus Sprint. Well, that certainly is the way they do the commercials. That's the way that they handle it, because they have Can You Hear Me Now, Dude, is now hawking for Sprint. He's hawking for Sprint now, right? Is it Sprint that he's hawking for?
Yes.
But there are a lot of carriers that are rivals, correct? But I would guess Verizon and Sprint would be in the top, right?
I would think so, just because they're not the top dogs, so they're kind of going for the scraps.
Yeah. Harold says Schwarzenegger versus Stallone. Yeah, that's a good one.
They're friends.
They are. They hang out with Bruno at Planet Hollywood.
They're oh man, what was that movie? They're all in.
The Expendables?
They're Expendables together.
Well, Stallone and Schwarzenegger just made a terrible movie where they escape from prison. What the hell was it called? Oh, I think it was called Escape Plan. That might be the I think it was called, if I'm not mistaken, it might be called Escape Plan, and it was Schwarzenegger and Stallone. But in the 80s, they were absolute rivals. They were going after the same audiences and making very similar movies, both big, muscular goofballs shooting guns and punching people in the lips. That's what they were doing. So in the 80s, they were, and then they all came together and opened up a chain of terrible restaurants. And Bruce Willis entertained everybody as Bruno. Then he would pour drinks behind the bar, because he's just a working class guy, Bruce Willis. Let's see. Harold also says, a funny thing about the Hawks rivalry with the Blues, the Hawks pushed the NHL to start a franchise in St. Louis. They wanted a local rival and also someone to use the St. Louis Arena, which the Wirtz family owned. Yeah, yeah. St. Louis, I would say, is number one now. I mean, for me, it's still the Red Wings with the Hawks. It's still the Red Wings for me. That's the team that I hate the most of any hockey team. I hate the Red Wings. So, all right, more rivals coming up. We want to hear from you. Business world, entertainment world, 312-981-7200. So yeah, Burger Month. That's why it's IHOB. Yeah, it's great advertising. What's going to happen when it's Pancake Month? Is Burger King going to do that? Is Burger King going to become Pancake King?
Do they sell flapjacks?
I think they sell mini, I think, for their breakfast. I think they sell hotcakes. I know McDonald's does, because yeah. I used to make them when I was working at McDonald's 40 years ago or whatever the hell it was.
What time did you have to show up for the morning shift on the McDonald's?
5?
That's not too bad.
Yeah, 5, I think, if I remember correctly. It was a long time ago, Dan. It was a long time ago.
5 o'clock is still early.
No, I know. Yeah, it may have been earlier. I don't know, but I know it was at least I think it was 5. I think we'd start at 5, and breakfast went on the weekends to 10. If I'm not mistaken, or 10:30, I can't remember. And then you would always get the people who would come in, and we would switch over to lunch, and they'd be like, "I want an egg McMuffin," And then you were like, you should have got here 10 minutes ago, pal. Now leave.
I thought you did give them to people.
Not if, because you have to...
Because it's the leftovers.
This, well, yeah, if it's leftover. But like somebody comes in and there's none in the bin.
Oh,
and they want, and they want, and they want a Egg McMuffin. You can't do it because they had to. The temperature for the flat tops are completely different. You have to like change the when you're cooking burgers and stuff, as opposed to when you're cooking eggs. The flat tops are completely, you know, the temperatures are completely different.
Well, I wonder how they do it now.
I don't know.
Because you can get
you can get some breakfast items and stuff. You know, yeah. I mean, listen, I worked there in 1981. So, I mean,
you don't think it's the same?
I worked there from 1981 to like 1984.
I'm sure if you went in there, it'd be like riding a bicycle.
Yeah. Oh, sure. There were no microwaves when I was working there, and they've got microwaves at every station now. Whenever I can look back in a fast food place, there's clearly microwaves everywhere. We never had microwaves. So, anyway. All right, so we have to take a break here. Hey, how about fast food breakfasts? That's got to be, the winner has to, it's got to be McDonald's, right? Like if you have rivals, like Burger King has fast food breakfast. Wendy's, does Wendy's have fast food breakfast? Does Wendy's have breakfast? They have to, right? In order to compete, don't they have to?
They might have started.
Uh-huh.
I would say Bell over Wendy's, right? I mean.
Taco Bell?
Yeah.
Oh, Taco Bell has fantastic breakfast items.
But just, like, in terms of the sheer amount.
Yeah.
I would think, this is probably a lone wolf, but Sonic.
Oh, yeah. I don't get to Sonic, though. I mean, that's another one.
I gotta give you that pickle slushy story.
Oh, yeah. Pickle slushies, Esmeralda. Have you heard about that?
Is that just for the hangovers?
I don't know.
Like, who wants to actually drink
one? I would try that. I would totally try that.
Yeah, but you want to drink a whole one?
I don't know. It depends on how it tastes. I mean, I would love to
salty.
I would really like to taste it.
Like a pickle.
I like that.
A whole one?
Sure.
You want to drink a whole 12 ounce?
I'd have to taste it. I'd have to taste it. But I mean, I love.
Tastes like a pickle.
And I love pickles. I could eat 5 jars of pickle right now.
Ugh. I
challenge accepted. Where's the 24-hour?
No, listen, man.
Yeah,
we've talked about how much I love pickles.
No doubt, but eating five bottles of pickles on the air
right now. Get it right now.
Friday at 3 a.m. Everybody,
I'll be all puckered up by the.
Your insides will be pickled. We're gonna get you a large pickle slushy.
Yeah, there you go. I want to try it. I'm curious to try it. Sure, why not? All right, we got a break here, and we're going to come back with more rivalries. 312-981-7200. That's right, man. She works hard for the money. Two for Tuesday, yeah. 312-981-7200. Michael from Iowa, Donna Summer. That's She Works Hard for the Money. Come on now. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase studio here on WGN. And, before we get back to the rivalry conversation, Esmeralda, a couple of quick fast food stories here real quick. I have the whole story about the pickle juice slush.
Mm-hmm.
Sonic's new pickle juice slush has arrived in stores, combining lime green color, salty pickle flavor, and the snow cone experience all in one, just in time for summer. The fast food establishment first began teasing the release of the unusual flavor earlier in the spring, and on Monday, June 11th, it finally became available for purchase at some of Sonic's 3,500 franchise locations nationwide for a limited time run. Has anybody tried it? 312-981-7200. Anybody tried the pickle juice slushy? The pickle juice variation is not alone, however, available in 4 classic snow cone flavors, including Bahama Mama, Blue Hawaiian, Tiger's blood. What the hell is tiger? What would the flavor of tiger's blood be? Was it Charlie Sheen make that up?
It's very irony.
Tastes like Frosted Flakes.
Oh man,
they're great.
Yeah, Sonic's icy cold, colorful snow cone slushies. Slushes provide guests with the ultimate taste of summer in a sippable, slurpable delight, the press release says. Oh, yeah, because when I think summer, I think pickle juice. I think the refreshing, I think of the refreshment of pickle juice on a nice hot day. Nothing I like to guzzle down more than a big jar of pickle juice. They further elaborate, Sonic's guests are game to try adventurous and fun flavors, so we've made it our mission to deliver the best of both worlds when it comes to innovation and variety. As a nice incentive, the drinks are half price during happy hour. Only time will tell if the pickle juice slush ascends to the heights of the popularity of the unicorn frappuccino. Okay.
So this is a General's Tiger's Blood flavor. Not necessarily the one served at Sonic, but okay. You can imagine it's similar. Tiger's Blood has been around for decades, originating in the South and later making its way to the Hawaiian Islands. Variations include strawberry, watermelon, and a hint of coconut. You will also find cherry, strawberry, watermelon, and coconut, or just strawberry and coconut.
Okay. All right, well, that sounds fine, except for the cherry. That sounds fine. But why the hell is it called Tiger's Blood? Where did that come from? Because it's red?
It's tropical. Tigers come from the jungle.
Yeah, I guess. All right.
They eat a lot of coconuts.
The pickle juice slush, that's here to stay. By the way, Esmeralda, we're going to take a break for the news and everything. When we come back, one more food story and we'll get back to rivalries. Did you know that KFC is rolling out vegetarian chicken?
Oh, like fake chicken?
I guess so. We'll find out. All right. News is coming up. Welcome back, everybody. Two for Tuesday continues. 312-981-7200-630 area code. Jim Croce with Operator. A song that couldn't be written today because there aren't any more. You can't get out on the phone going, hey, Operator, what the hell? Can you help me place this call? No. I can't because I don't exist. How you doing, everybody? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase studio here on Michigan Avenue. And we're going to get back to talking about rivalries. And if you want to jump in, we would love to hear from you at 312-981-7200. But I wanted to read this story about KFC. KFC is rolling out vegetarian chicken. So now, Esmeralda, you've never had regular KFC, which we've discussed before.
I haven't.
I've never had Kentucky Fried Chicken, which is just astonishing to me. You know what we should do is we should bring in some KFC for Esmeralda and a pickle slushy for me.
I mean,
and then what would you have to try? Don't you? Isn't there something that Dan that you have to try?
Hot soup.
No, no. Oh no! It's I keep going back to Walker Brothers. That we can't bring Walker Brothers here.
Right. 219 texted in, I had a dill pickle soup this weekend at a restaurant in Northwest Indiana. Nick would have loved it.
Ooh. That sounds delicious. KFC probably won't rebrand itself as Kentucky Fried Chickpeas. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on. Wait. Hold on a minute.
All right.
See, for people who don't know, the Rimshot machine is a little further away from me than it was on the seventh floor.
He's being modest. He has to put the snare kit together every time.
So big,
you know, in the new studio. Oh, that's going to be pulled and put on there Friday. I hope you enjoy that, listening to that again Friday morning, Esmeralda. Anyway, the new studio across the hut or across the lake or the river. I'll get it right at some point at 303 Wacker. The my little Rimshot machine will be right next to me like it was on the seventh floor. So no more delays. I guess not. So anyway, KFC won't rebrand itself Kentucky Fried Chickpeas anytime soon, but it's in the process of developing a vegetarian fried quote-unquote chicken in an effort to add healthier items to its menu, Market Watch reports.
How is that healthier if it's still fried?
If it's still fried. The faux meat will be vegetable-based, but KFC is still in early stages of testing out different type of top-secret recipes. The company aims to launch the product in the UK 2019 as part of a larger plan to reduce the calories on their menu items per serving by 20% over the next 7 years. The plan also aligns with Britain's new initiative to encourage citizens to consume fewer calories while also challenging the food industry to make its foods less calorific. According to the New York Times, KFC hasn't said whether the chicken substitute would eventually be rolled out globally. So just in the UK. where you can get those funny foot ice cream bars that are still available. Let's see. KFC follows in the footsteps of McDonald's, which unveiled the McVegan burger in Finland. Oh, that sounds delightful.
You know, you might be able to get that here.
The McVegan burger?
Because there's that. So there's next to Hamburger University.
Oh, in Oak Park?
Or no, down here. It's they just opened it.
Oh, that's right. They moved it. That's right.
Yeah, and right next to it is a McDonald's with a bunch of food from other countries.
Mm. You know, in Oak Brook, do they still have in Oak Brook, they still have the headquarters, right?
No, the headquarters moved to this facility. Oh, that Esmeralda was
and the university.
I believe so.
Oh, yes. So everything is now located in Fulton.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Well, they used to my ex-girlfriend who was 5 years older than me had a kid and was my manager at McDonald's who I dated, very healthy relationship. I just want everybody to know it was a really good idea for a 21-year-old woman to date a 16-year-old kid who already had a kid and was her manager or his manager. It was a real spin. But anyway, because the people at work found out that we were dating, so they moved her to Oak Brook. They shipped her out to Oak Brook. So she worked at Oak Brook in the headquarters. And so I would go out there and like visit her and stuff like that. And we would go out afterwards. And they had, and Esmeralda back in those days, that's where they tested everything. It was in the headquarters, the McDonald's that was located in the Oak Brook headquarters. And so I tried a lot of stuff that, you know, never made the menu. But so maybe the McVegan, which sounds so tasty.
I'm kind of surprised how much longer did the relationship last after the Oak Brook transfer?
Well, let's see. Oh, a couple of years.
Wow.
Yeah. No, we dated a while.
Survived the distance.
Yeah, no, we did. No. She lived in the city.
Well, I know, but still, you know, part of the, when you date somebody from work, it's the, you know.
Yeah.
By the way, I love that you would drive out. Couldn't she just come home and then you'd see her?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I would go out there to try the stuff because she would tell me, hey, we got these new menu items. I'd go, oh, I want to try them.
Oh, I see. So it wasn't for her.
Oh, no. No.
Not a little bit.
She just wanted that newfangled chicken.
Is that
nugget?
The real reason you dated her?
That's exactly the real reason I dated her.
It was all of this elaborate scheme.
A woman who was 5 years older than me and had a 4-year-old kid. It was a really good move on my part.
He needed an in.
I can imagine. Yeah, he's talking to Dan Long, not the Dan Long that works here, but the Dan Long that was his best friend when growing up. And he's like, Dan, I got an idea. I'll start dating this manager, and then I'll get her in trouble. I'll get her in trouble.
So she is transferred to Oak Brook,
and then I will be able to attend Hamburger University.
It's quite the long game. You're playing the long con.
That's exactly right. Wow, man. I'm not playing around.
That's why you have a plaque.
That's exactly right, man. I would say this as a little side note. She was like the rock star of prom because she was old enough to buy booze.
Oh my god, you took her to prom?
Yes, I took. She was my girlfriend.
Yeah, but don't they got age limits?
I don't know. I took her to prom. I dated her for like 4 years.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I took her to prom, and she was like, man, that was the highlight was like...
So she was like, what, 24 by then?
No. That was... she was 22. Probably at that point, 21 or 22. Because I'd started dating her when I was like almost a senior in high school, and prom was senior. You know? So,
yeah. You say you're 16.
I was 16. Prom, you're 17. I was 17 for my prom. So, yeah. So she was probably 22, maybe. But she was old enough to buy booze, so my friends loved her. My friends were like, hey, can you send her to buy the booze for us? And we're like, sure.
Can't believe she actually agreed to go to prom.
She did.
Do you want her to get some stuff from McDonald's?
Well, first of all, hold on. Let me see. You can't believe she went to prom, but you can believe she dated me? I mean, you could believe a 21-year-old woman with a kid would date a 16-year-old. You could buy that, but the prom thing pushes it over the edge?
I would think she had some shred of dignity, but I guess not.
Was she using you for your Captain Whammo prizes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. It was a, you know, it was a good, it was a good, it was a really interesting relationship. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, McVegan, the McVegan burger. I can't imagine how that would not taste horrible. Let's see. That was in Finland and Sweden. The vegetarian friendly frozen food companies have been very successful, with Beyond Meat being one notable example. Beyond Meat, you know, Beyond. Hold on a second. Dave Ennett, who's healthy and stuff. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me put on the right mic. Okay.
There's something called the Beyond Burger,
uh-huh.
which I know they sell it at Whole Foods, and you will never believe who was the first to suggest this to me.
To suggest Beyond Burger to you?
Beyond Burger to me. It was recommended by Steve Cochran.
What?
Yes.
Steve Cochran recommended?
It is a plant-based burger. Nick, I'm not making this up. It was Cochran who suggested it.
Did you try it?
I went to Whole Foods, got it. It was great. Throw them on the grill. And they have, now, I don't think you're going to really go crazy over this. They have beet juice in them, which gives them kind of a reddish texture.
I love beets.
Okay. Well, you don't really taste it. It's more for coloring.
Now, Dan, this sounds like the Impossible Burger that you had.
Very much so, yeah.
Now, the we went out to dinner, by the way, just with actor Stephen Tobolowsky.
Oh, of course. Dan, I saw the pictures.
Dan and I went out to dinner with Stephen Tobolowsky over here at Howl's and Hood. Mm-hmm. And Dan, you tried the Impossible Burger.
Yeah, I mean, it tasted like a burger with a little bit of spice, but had the juices.
And it had like the juices to recreate. And Esmeralda, you've had the Impossible Burger too, correct?
I have.
And you liked it.
Mm-hmm.
So Beyond Burger is another version of that.
I'm telling you, it's really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I yeah, all right. I believe you.
Look, if Cochran would eat it.
I know. That's What does that say, though? What are we saying there?
847 lets us know Jewel now carries it.
Oh, do they? Oh,
cares good. Beyond Burgers?
Yes.
Good okay. to know.
And 708 wants to know if your dad told the 21-year-old dating jokes.
Yes. Let me just explain something to you. My parents knew about it. Her parents knew about it. We were boyfriend and girlfriend. I know that's very weird, very unconventional, and really, really stupid for me to have had a relationship like that, and even stupider for her. But we were boyfriend and girlfriend, like for real, for a few years. You know what I mean? I met her parents and her family. She met my parents. It was a boyfriend-girlfriend situation, despite our age difference and despite the fact that she had a daughter. So it was as normal as it could be with those situations. So yes, my dad told her jokes. Oh, boy. All right. Hey, here's an idea. Let's go to weather and traffic. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. And that is Jim Croce. I got a name, 630 area code for 2 for Tuesday. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here till 5 o'clock. Coming up at 5 o'clock is Steve Grzanich with the opening bell and my main man, Steve Cochran, at 6. Speaking of Steve Cochran's show, Dave Ennett is here in studio. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Nick.
It's been fun for like the last couple of weeks to have you come in during the show and we can chat for a little while.
It is fun. Yeah. After all these years where we've been down the hall from each other,
exactly.
I've been in my little cubbyhole.
Right, and we'll get back to that when we go across the river. You'll be back in your own little hut.
Except I have a view now.
You do, yeah. We all have. I mean, the views are fantastic up
Unbelievable.
There. Beautiful. Yep. Now, we've been talking about rivalries throughout the morning, and we did mention some sports rivalries. What are some that stand out for you that are like the biggest? We've talked about the Packers. We've talked about the Bears.
Well, and I heard your conversation about Ohio State, Michigan versus Michigan, Michigan State. I agree with what Dan said. I think that Ohio State, Michigan is one of the biggest, probably the biggest rivalry. USC, Notre Dame in college is a big one, but I'd say Ohio State, Michigan is as big as they get.
What's Northwestern's biggest rival?
Illinois.
Yeah.
Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, state rivalries, although they've kind of developed some interesting, you know, you get those sort of secondary rivalries, Wisconsin and Iowa, mm-hmm. which are border states.
Right.
So you got that going too.
And we were talking about this, I mean, obviously because of what's happening in Milwaukee, where they've become, you know, since they moved to the National League, they've become a big rival of the Cubs.
But, you know, this was mentioned about a week or so ago when the White Sox were playing the Brewers, the Sox-Brewers rivalry, when Milwaukee was in the American League, that became a pretty intense rivalry where it didn't always stay verbal.
Right. Now, do you have any other favorite ones? I mean, we haven't mentioned the Celtics and the Lakers, and that period in the 80s was just crazy.
Yeah, it was. It kind of reminiscent of what we're seeing now, except I don't think you have that same intensity with Golden State and Cleveland because it's sort of been dominated by Golden State.
Yeah.
In the other one in football, I think Washington and Dallas.
Okay.
I think if you think about that, the Cowboys and the Redskins has been, over the years, one of the probably one of the best rivalries in the NFL. But you have the Raiders and Chiefs. That was always a good one, too. Some of these were better when both teams were really doing well.
Right, right, right. Yeah, that's always, I mean, the circumstances are always different.
And Cubs Cardinals obviously is a great rivalry. The Brewer Cubs thing, the Cubs have, at least lately, they've been dominating.
Yeah.
So
what are they, 7-1 this season?
This year they're now 8-1.
Eight and one. Last night was their eighth win.
Their eighth win.
Yeah.
I think I know the answer to this, Dave. But obviously, with LeBron making it to his eighth straight finals, a lot of people are saying LeBron versus Michael.
No.
No. I mean, look, the guy's a great player, and he's the best player of his era.
Yeah.
But Jordan was the best of his. They're different eras.
Different eras, but Jordan was the best player ever.
You would have a tough time convincing me he was not.
Yeah. Here's some other ones. Frazier versus Ali, someone says. That's a big one.
It's a rivalry.
Yeah, absolutely. The Florida Gators versus the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, but is that bigger than Florida State? I don't know. I mean, you do have, like, you have these regional rivalries.
Mm-hmm.
Stanford-Cal is big in Northern California or in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
But again, those are not, like Ohio State and Michigan captures a national audience.
Right, 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 right. Absolutely. And then some other non-sports rivalries, Star Wars versus Star Trek, Team Edward versus Team Jacob from Twilight. Come on. WLS versus WCFL. Oh,
in the old days?
In the old days. We're going back in time now.
Super CFL?
Super CFL, man. They would be like, animal stories! Frito-Lay versus Jays. Do they mean Lay's potato chips versus Jays?
Well, that's what it would have to be,
It would have to be, right? Because Frito...
Are you just going to have rivalries between snack chips? So it'd be Fritos versus
Doritos.
Jays.
Yeah. Robert says that White Castle has the best breakfast. I've had the breakfast at White Castle. It's pretty good. Or as far as that goes, as far as the that kind of thing goes. Here are some other ones. Fly through some of these. Visa versus MasterCard.
Okay.
Macy's versus Gimbel. That's a good one. I mean, they made a classic...
The Miracle on 34th Street.
Classic Christmas movie. I was going to say Halloween movie. And R.J. Reynolds versus Philip Morris. Who's poisoning more people? Duracell versus Energizer. Walmart versus Target. That's a good one.
That's good.
Let's see. Budweiser versus Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fender versus Gibson. Oh. Little musician battle there. Sears versus JCPenney. Well, neither of them are around anymore. So
yeah, in the old days.
In the old days. let's see. Dunkin' Donuts versus Starbucks. I guess that's just in terms of coffee? Well, you can get donuts and stuff at Starbucks, right? Can't you get, you can get all kinds of food now at Starbucks, right?
You can get muffins. Well, yeah, you can get sandwiches.
Right.
You can get wine.
What?
Some Starbucks.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't, but you can.
Yeah. I don't drink coffee, so that's why.
Yeah.
Marvel versus DC. There you go. All right. Thanks, Dave.
That was fun.
Yeah. All right. Hey, listen, we're going to talk sports with Kevin Powell tomorrow on the show. He's going to be one of the guests.
Okay, I'll make sure he shows up.
All right, we'll be right back.